The Obama administration surprised many people a few days ago by announcing a one-year delay in the employer mandate of the Affordable Health Care Act. Now, businesses with more than 50 employees have until 2015 before they'll face possible fines if they fail to provide affordable coverage to full-time workers. Pundits have been discussing whether this is a sign the law is in trouble or an example of clever political tactics, but on this hour of Focus, we'll look at what the delay means for you. Another question about the health care law: open enrollment for the new health insurance exchanges created by the law begins October 1st. How does enrollment work? Well, we'll get answers to these and any other questions you have about the health care law from Claudia Lenoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and health insurance broker John Katsinas. I'm Jim Meadows. Answers to your questions about the federal health care law coming up on Focus after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and this is one of our periodic looks at the Affordable Care Act. Our guests today answered questions about the health care law on our Focus program last September, back when Craig Cohen was the host. Now it's time for another look as more of the law takes effect and some parts are delayed. Claudia Lenoff is Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. Claudia, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back also to John Katsinas. He's a manager with insurance provider Barham Benefit Group in Champaign. And you were formerly with Health Alliance Medical Plans before that. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim.
And any and all questions about our healthcare system and what the Affordable Care Act has and will do are welcome. But like our program last September, we're going to try to leave politics out of today's discussion. Plenty of places to talk about that. And today is all about how the system works and what you as a consumer ought to know about it. To join the conversation, give us a call at 333-9455, 333-WILL. If you're outside the 217 area code, call us toll-free at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-WILL. And you can also email us at will-talk, W-I-L-L-talk, at illinois.edu. We also welcome your questions on the WILL Facebook page. And I have a number of questions to share. Well, no, I don't, actually. That's, but I have a number of questions to ask. And that's starting with the delay that the Obama administration announced a few days ago. And this is the not the employee mandate, but the employer mandate, and the penalties for enforcing that mandate, essentially for medium and large businesses. I understand these are businesses who have more than 50 employees. They are required to offer insurance for their full-time employees. If they don't, they pay a penalty per employee, but that's been delayed for a year, which actually means until 2015. And I'm just wondering, what does that delay mean for employees?
Well, for employees who currently have health insurance through their employer, they really should not see any changes. They should be able to maintain their health insurance. For employees who work for these larger employers but currently do not have health insurance through their employer, they will need to seek health insurance, individual health insurance plans through the marketplace. And the delay was basically at the request of these large employer associations, because these large employers said that they were not ready yet to be able to meet the reporting requirements that they would have to meet under the ACA when they're reporting to the federal government about the type of health insurance that they are offering, the cost of that health insurance, the number of employees taking that health insurance, and so on. So they asked for some more time, and the administration gave them an extra year to do that. The administration does say that for most very large employers, they are currently offering health insurance now. It's just that those benefits may not be uniform or standard. Some employees may be getting better benefits than others, depending on their employer.
And John Katsinas, maybe you can, since I think you deal more with employers, maybe you can talk about what sort of problems they're telling you about. I understand there are still some rules and regulations that haven't been written yet.
Right. When the administration announced the delay in the employer mandate last week, and I think it came from the Department of the Treasury, they said that this week there would be some clarification in terms of the rules and procedures to follow. So we're kind of flying blind as far as that goes. The fact is, right now, probably 94% of employers from 50 to 199 employees offer insurance anyway. And most employers that offer insurance do it because there can be some tax benefits to the employer and employee, and employers want to attract and retain good employees. So certainly the delay of the mandate implementation doesn't affect those at all.
But for those employers who don't offer it, those with 50 or more employees and who are just finding some problems in doing this, is this a simplification for them?
Well, I mean, it delays the situation from being resolved for a year. But just to give you an example, Claudia talked about certain groups of employers that, you know, really have lobbied hard to delay this. I used to own a restaurant. Restaurants traditionally pay low wages. I know that the National Restaurant Association is trying to resolve and get clarification on a number of rules that would affect restaurateurs with over 50 full-time or equivalent employees. It's a difficult situation because we're trying to do what's best for everybody here, employee and employer, and we hope with the clarification and perhaps some more time to discuss reasonable alternatives for all parties involved that we can get some sort of resolution to the best of all for all of us.
Let's take a caller now on line four, Ray in Effingham. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning. My question is, I'm self-employed, and about a year ago, I had to let my health insurance go. I couldn't afford it anymore. And I have no computer, so how do I access the pool? Is there any place else to go to do that?
Yes, that is a great question. And the way that people will access the marketplace, as it's called, to go and shop for health insurance once it is open starting October 1, is if you don't have a computer, there will be several different ways. There will be an 800, a 1-800 phone number that you can call in and work with somebody over the phone who can help you. The other way will be that there will be organizations throughout all of our communities who can help people shop for and enroll in health insurance. We don't know yet what those organizations are because there's been a competitive application process for organizations like Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and other groups to apply to receive navigator status. That's the official federal term for an organization that can help do education and outreach and enrollment. And then the state of Illinois is also going to be funding organizations and agencies to provide in-person counseling. What I would say is that if you don't have computer access, just please stay tuned to your media, to this radio station, TV. You will start seeing a lot of information coming out in September, official information from the state and the federal government that will be telling you the phone number and also the local community resources where you can go. And recently, the federal administration also announced that they're going to work with libraries to have them be set up as places where if you do want to go and use a computer on your own, you should be able to go to the library and start working on your health insurance through their computers.
Okay, so I'll just stay tuned and get those places and 800 number in September then, you think?
Yeah. The other thing you can do, I'm sorry I forgot to mention this, you can actually contact my organization, the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, at 352-6533 and ask to be added to our list of people who want to be kept informed. And as new information comes out, we will send you information in the mail or we will call you by phone. I realize you're in Effingham, but we will still be able to help you figure out where to go in Effingham to enroll yourself.
Okay. Well, I'll call in and get your address and then send in my address. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray. And, you know, I'm looking at, I have to say, for people who do have computers, if you go to our website at will.illinois.edu/focus, you'll find links to Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, to the Illinois Department of Insurance and their page on the new health insurance exchanges, and also to healthcare.gov, the federal website on the new healthcare law, and lots of information, no phone numbers.
Right. There is actually a phone number now on, I believe it's on healthcare.gov. I don't have it at my fingertips. I might ask for one of my coworkers to maybe text me that phone number, and then I can tell it to your listeners. You know, it's really not super helpful at this point in time yet, but starting in October, people will be able to call. But one other thing that I wanted to mention, Jim, you had talked about these websites. For people who do have computer access, I would really encourage people to go to the healthcare.gov and to sign up. You can sign up to receive email alerts about the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, as it's being rolled out, and useful information for people. So that's a really important resource.
Well, actually, I'm looking again at healthcare.gov, and they are giving a help center phone number, which they say is open 24/7. So here's the number, 1-800-318-2596. That's 1-800-318-2596, the help center number provided by healthcare.gov. And I don't know what they're offering at this point. They say that there will be more local more local information available in October in many communities.
My coworker actually called that number last week. We wanted to see what they had to offer. And it is sort of an automated system. You answer questions and then it takes you to the next section. However, just like almost any other automated number, you can press zero several times and then you will actually get to speak to a live person.
We all know that routine. Well, the number here, we promise, a live person, Jason Croft, is standing by waiting for your call. If you have a question, call us at 333-9455 or call toll-free 1-800-222-9455 if you have questions about the Affordable Health Care Act and its impact on you. You can email our your question to will-talk, W-I-L-L-talk, at illinois.edu. Our guests are Claudia Lenoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and health insurance broker John Katsinas of the Barron Benefit Group in Champaign. And, you know, I'm wondering, because we were talking about how the employer benefit has been delayed. The employer mandate has been delayed. The employee mandate has been delayed. So even though employers are getting another year free from any penalties for not offering health insurance, employees will still face a penalty.
That's
beginning
right.
When?
The penalty will be for the year 2014, and it would be paid when they file their taxes in 2015 for 2014. However, I think the really important point to make is that if somebody is uninsured right now, even if they work for a large employer whose mandate has been delayed, those individuals can still seek health insurance coverage through the marketplace by looking for an individual plan. And if they are low-income individuals, I would really encourage people to go and look and see what's available, because a lot of low-income individuals will qualify for Medicaid at no cost to them, so that they'll be able to get Medicaid coverage at no cost to them. And other people who do not qualify for Medicaid because their income is a little bit higher, they will still be able to get health insurance coverage but qualify for tax subsidies to help reduce the cost of their premiums, and in some cases to also help reduce the cost of out-of-pocket expenses. So if an employee currently does not have health insurance and they work for a large employer, I would say do not automatically assume that your best course of action is to take the penalty, but go and explore the marketplace and see what's available, and you might find that you can get health coverage that's very affordable or potentially no cost to you.
Let's go to a caller on line one, Gary in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hello. Thank you. I'm just wondering if there's any idea yet of the kind of the range of costs of the plans that will be available in Illinois. I understand that this, it, based on your income, you may get some assistance with the plans, but what's the range of costs of plans that will be available?
I think that's a question for John.
Well, thank you so much, Claudia. Okay, number one, I don't know. But I can also say, for instance, right now for a 40-year-old, based on the carriers that we deal with, I would say there's plans available depending on the level of coverage for anywhere from, say, $90 to, if you want a Cadillac plan, probably $400. So how that translates into 2014 on the marketplace would be hard to say. And I think those subsidies affect people as high as what? 400% of the federal poverty mm-hmm. level?
Yes. One thing that I would say, this caller's question is a question that is on everybody's mind. And I think personally, I'm not expecting to see huge increases in premiums, but I wouldn't speculate what they should be. However, there are some new restrictions or regulations that are coming into play that should help control the sort of unbridled increase in premiums that we've seen until now. For example, now health insurance premiums can no longer be based on pre-existing conditions. They have to be based only on these factors, whether it's an individual or family plan that will affect the premium, the geographical area of where the person getting the health insurance lives, and that currently also affects our premiums, the age. But the age-related increase cannot vary by more than 3 times among adults. And this is a huge improvement because right now I think our own health insurance plan has probably six or seven different age bands where they can increase the premium based on those ages. And some states may allow premium prices to vary based on tobacco use. The big changes are that insurance premiums can no longer be based on gender discrimination, where women are charged double or more than what men of the same age are charged. And then also the age pricing is going to be much more narrow and limited. So I'm expecting good things. I don't know that anybody will see sharp declines in their premiums, but I think hopefully they will stay about the same or very moderate increases. But then over time, I think those increases should be less and less as more people are in.
Well, Gary, I hope that helps.
Well, that's the best answer we can get right now. Although I have to say that $400 a month at the high end seems a bit low to me, because there are a lot of plans that are much more expensive than that.
I was going off the top of my head for a 40-year-old male. So if someone's older than that, it would be more expensive at this time.
Well, appreciate your answers. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Gary. And here's a question that came in from email. With the employer mandate being delayed for another year, so there's no revenue coming in from – there's not going to be revenue coming in 2014 for those penalties for any employers that – decide not to offer coverage, is that going to create a funding problem?
I don't expect that to create a funding problem. First of all, I think that the government in developing the budget for this was really hoping to not have to receive a lot of income in the form of revenue from penalties. I think there's a lot more carrot than stick, especially in the first few years of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. But also, I think one of the other factors that is coming out now, and we're hearing more and more about it, is that actually the cost of healthcare spending, the increase in healthcare spending, has actually slowed. So we're not seeing those huge increases like we had for the previous years. It's actually starting to slow for Medicare, for Medicaid, and we may also be seeing the same for private health insurance. So I think there are some savings for the government from the slowing down in that growth of cost.
Just to add to that, due to the Supreme Court decision on health care last year where they said states could opt out of accepting Medicaid expansion, I would think that I haven't seen anyone address it, but that means millions of people that perhaps on the preliminary go-around were figured in as being on Medicaid won't be. So initially, I would assume that reduces the cost to the government.
Okay. We have an email from Jack who wants to know, how will the Affordable Care Act affect people who are now eligible for COBRA coverage?
Who are now eligible for COBRA coverage? I think that, well, maybe John has a better answer. Everything I understand is if you have coverage that you like right now, you can keep it. I would think that for a lot of people, they may be able to find more affordable coverage through the marketplace, through an individual plan, because it won't be based on pre-existing conditions or, you know, or anything like that.
Just for the listeners, COBRA is when you leave an employer and you're allowed to buy at the purchase price 18 months of coverage. And traditionally, people who have taken COBRA have done it because currently they cannot get insurance anywhere else. They had some sort of medical condition that probably made them uninsurable. Well, in 2014, everyone is guaranteed coverage in the marketplace. So I haven't seen anything addressing this, but I would assume that the necessity of having COBRA available to protect employees leaving an organization is going to be greatly reduced.
And for what it's worth, I was just looking up on the healthcare.gov website, just putting in their own on their own little site, just looking up COBRA, and apparently they look at COBRA continuation coverage as being another choice. For instance, if you lose your job-based insurance coverage, you could go to the marketplace, the insurance exchanges for a plan there. Or as another option, you could get COBRA coverage. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be talking about COBRA as something that will continue to exist.
Yeah, I think people will not lose their options. It's just
right.
That they're gaining a new option, and that's the coverage through the marketplace. And I think if somebody is savvy and they have the resources, it would really be worth their time starting in October to look at what the marketplace has to offer to them compared to their COBRA coverage. The other thing is that the coverage that they will get through the health insurance marketplace may be better. There may be, you know, they may have lower out-of-pocket costs depending on which plan they choose and so on. So it's worth it to shop.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones and line one, Paul, in Champaign County. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Yeah, I know you want to talk more about nuts and bolts, but one thing I wanted to point out is what I've heard is that this employer penalty that's just been delayed a year was already pretty lame. It was a very small amount. In fact, arguments were made that it really wasn't enough to make enterprises add insurance, and it was seen as a funding stream for the other parts of it. I don't know. They ran the numbers in that way. But I'm not confident in the marketplace on health insurance. I don't see it as a commodity that can be done that way. But given that we have that, I wanted to ask about another project that Healthcare Consumers is working on, which is a sort of a co-op model for health insurance, so that it sort of came in when the public option went out, is what I understood, and that it's a way that maybe some downward pressure on the insurers could go ahead. It sounds like a very hard thing to work on, but I understand there is some federal funds to set up these. You don't have to dwell on that, but if you would say something about where that is and how you see it might fit in the future, and I appreciate your work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much.
In terms of the nonprofit health insurance co-op, Healthcare Consumers is not working on that anymore. We had been working with a group that had applied for that. Our group did not get selected. However, Illinois did have a group selected. So there will be, in the state of Illinois, a nonprofit health insurance co-op.
What does that mean exactly?
It's nonprofit health insurance. And so, in other words, it it operates not for the purpose of generating a profit, but for the purpose of providing health coverage without the need to generate a profit. And it's a co-op because its governance structure is different than a traditional business. It's cooperative, where members who are part of the health plan have a role in the governance and setting the benefits and so on. Of course, they have to comply with all the laws of the state and the federal government and the marketplace. But the goal is to be able to offer this nonprofit health insurance co-op within the marketplace in the state of Illinois. However, I think I know that Paul is excited about that, as are we. However, I don't think that the co-op will be offered initially in Champaign County when it first opens up. I think it's going to be a pretty Chicago-based health insurance plan, and over time as it grows, it may come into our market and be offered locally.
As for the penalties on employers, now due to take effect in 2015, do you think they have any bite?
I think that there is a little bit of bite, and I think the penalties under the law increase over time. Like for the individual mandate, the penalties increase over time. I think that the focus of the law is actually more on the carrot than the stick, trying to engage employers to offer health insurance, trying to make it affordable for employees. And basically, I think that that's where the emphasis is on the law. I'm not upset really about the penalties. I think the focus is really on getting people insured. A lot of the very large employers already do offer health insurance. They will continue to do that under the law, but starting in 2015, they will have to report, and their health insurance will probably improve in some cases from what it is now. I'm not too concerned about the penalties issue. I'm more concerned about the ways that we help people get into health insurance.
Let's take another phone call. This is line four. Jeff in Piatone, good morning. You're on Focus.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you know, I'm really scared about this insurance thing. I mean, everybody's talking different things. I listen to your program, and I hear it, what you guys are talking about, and I've heard other ones, and I've read the booklets and everything on this. My wife is right now the only one working in their family, and they're taking more and more of our stuff away. We have to pay for more and more of the insurance, which is next to impossible anymore because you're not making as much. It's confusing because I know that the government says they want to take care of everybody, but there's a lot of people that are like me, you don't make a lot of money, you don't have insurance sometimes, that we're going to end up paying more money or we're going to have to pay more. That the reason why I don't have insurance now for myself is because it costs so much. I mean, unless they're offering to give it to me for free, which I know they're not, I can't accept it. It's I don't know where people think that they're getting insured in front of the government. It's confusing, you know, because we had PPOs and HMOs, and it's killing me. So I don't know, you know, I mean, people better read up on what their employers will or will not have, because I know for a fact that a lot of these employers are dumping some of this because of what's coming up. Am I not right?
My response to you is that your family situation is exactly the reason why we need this and why we need some regulation on health insurance and on the price of health insurance. And you're exactly right. A lot of times when you're on your own, shopping through the, you know, for individual health coverage or just through one employer, you have no control over the costs. Some of the costs are based on pre-existing conditions, your age, you know, your gender. A lot of that is going to change. And the affordability issue is going to change. I think one of the things that people don't understand is that when they do start looking for health insurance through the marketplace, there is going to be financial assistance available to help make the premiums affordable. And just as an example, if you earn I'm going to give an example of one individual and a family. Well, I actually just have information for one individual. If you're an individual who earns between 139% to 400% of the federal poverty level, so that is about 15. If you earn between $15,000 $800 to about $44,680, you will be able to get financial assistance in the form of tax subsidies that will lower how much you pay in premiums each month. And then in terms of shopping for health insurance and being able to compare benefits, the marketplace is set up in a way so that you will be comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. A lot of what's confusing to us right now is confusing because there's no systematic way of understanding benefits and looking at them and comparing them. That's going to change in the marketplace. I mean, this is something that has been a problem for a lot of years for people, and it benefits the insurance companies because people don't really know what they're getting and what they're paying for, and a lot of that is going to change. I think your family situation will probably improve because of the marketplace.
Well, can I throw something out there real quick? I know the whole idea was to go after these insurance companies that were fraudulent and, you know, dealing with the pre-existing conditions or whatnot. But I was reading somewhere, there's several places in different, you know, papers that were well-known for telling what exactly the truth is, that a lot of these insurance companies won't be on this government thing instead of going... You know, the whole thing that bugs me is that you're taken from the haves and given to the have-nots instead of going after the people who actually did it in the first place. And that's kind of hard for me to understand because, you know, it's like the whole system is breaking down to take care of a small portion of people. You know, it could be affordable for everybody if you would just go after the insurance companies that do this in the first place. But, you know, to be told this is where you're going to go and this is the doctor you're going to go see, like it or not, and this is how much drugs you're going to get, like it or not, doesn't make sense to me because everybody's different. Every body is different. The biology of our, you know, our human being is going to be different. So you're going to regulate everybody to go on one thing, whatever it be, and that, I don't know. It's scary. Now, it may work out. I don't know. We'll see in the next couple of years, but... I mean, what happens if it doesn't work out? Then what? Can we change it?
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. We got a lot to unpack there.
Can I just say something? In terms of the regulation, one thing for people to understand is a lot of the regulations that are going to improve health insurance coverage apply to health insurance plans both inside the marketplace as well as outside the marketplace. So if you do not want to shop through the marketplace, even though you might get financial assistance to afford your health insurance, you can still get a health insurance plan that is outside of the marketplace, and you will still benefit from some of those regulations. And so the insurance game in our nation is really going to change because of this. Already there have been significant changes because of regulations and the things that insurance companies are allowed to do and not allowed to do. So I think there will be benefits across the board for people who have or will be getting health insurance.
Just a couple points to follow up from what Claudia said. You were referring to, you know, we have different medical needs, different biologies, so to speak. One of the advantages of 2014 is that there will be no annual dollar limit on the amount of coverage a person may receive, and that's across the board. So that will be a good thing. You know, I always hear people talk about employers may choose to pay a $3,000 penalty per employee and drop their health insurance. And everybody talks about this, but I can say as a broker in Central Illinois, none of our groups have talked about this. I don't know of a broker, and I talk to a lot of them, that have anybody that's even contemplating such a thing. Because even if you thought that short-term as an employer you might save some money, the reason why you're paying for insurance now is that you need it to retain and attract employees, and how's that going to change?
We're going to take a break right now and come back with more information and more answers to your questions about the Affordable Health Care Act here on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. We're back on Focus here on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows, and my guests today are answering questions about the Federal Affordable Care Act. Claudia Lenoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers and John Katsinas. He's a health insurance broker with the Barham Benefit Group in Champaign. And our phone numbers to call for local callers. The phone number is 333-9455, 333-WILL. Outside the 217 area code, call toll-free at 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-WILL. Our email address, will-talk, W-I-L-L-talk, at illinois.edu. Here's an email from an employer who describes, they describe themselves as a small employer with five employees whose average wages are under $30,000. The company has always paid in full employee group help, but it has become quite a burden, even though we do receive the IRS credits for group health premiums. We have a very high deductible plan that places a burden on the employees. Question, is it going to be possible to move our employees to the exchanges and discontinue providing group health? We are thinking that with the credits to individuals, that they may be better off with the exchange. We are an older group with an average age at around 52 years old with no dependents. And John, is that a question for you?
I believe that would be a question for me. Well, number one, as Claudia said earlier, right now I think that people in the higher age groups can be charged up to six times the premium of people in the lower age groups.
That's right now sort of pre-Affordable Care Act, you mean?
Right. And that ratio is going to be reduced to 3-1. So some people would think this could be a drag on the raising of premiums for groups that are predominantly older. That would be one thing. Number two, I guess the question was, you know, would these employees be better off in the marketplace? I mean, as far as the employer, a group that size, he's not required to offer health insurance, and certainly there's no penalty that applies. So I suppose that if he determines and with the employees that that's in their best interest, that's what they do. What do you think, Claudia?
I think the person who sent the email is thinking the right way. First of all, they should be commended for offering health insurance. I know my organization is in the same situation. We offer health insurance. We pay the full premium. It is really difficult.
And just give an idea, Champaign County Healthcare Consumers has how many full-time employees?
I believe we have five insured individuals. And yeah, we have about 4.5 full-time employees, five insured individuals. And just as an example to show you in terms of discriminatory pricing and all of that that is in effect right now, a female in her mid-20s costs us over $500, actually close to $600, compared to a male of the same age who costs us just barely over $200. So that's what's happening in the small group market right now. So I understand this employer's predicament. They do have the option when 2014 comes around. They do have the option of shopping for a small group plan through the marketplace or of letting their employees seek an individual plan through the marketplace, and they can still help make the health plan affordable to their employees, I believe. The employer can still help subsidize or pay for the employee's plan through the individual marketplace, I believe, and they can still get some credit, but they cannot both employer and employee cannot both get.
Boy, those issues really get complicated, and mm-hmm. I know at Barham Benefit Group, we try to look at those on an individual case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
But obviously, if someone's a small employer like the person who emailed, you want to cost it out both ways through the marketplace as individuals and whatever other small group healthcare options are available so that everybody comes out in the best way.
Yeah, the important thing I think is that this employer is going to have more options and their employees are going to have more options, and it will probably be more affordable and better coverage.
And just for clarification, the employer who wrote in was thinking as an option to move employees individually to the exchanges and discontinue providing group health insurance. Are you saying that the employer also could go to those exchanges to look for possible group health insurance?
Theoretically, there is going to be what's called a shop, which is small. It's a marketplace for small employers where they can get small group plans. However, I don't know how many group plans will actually be offered through that.
We don't know how competitive it'll be yet.
Exactly. So that may be something that takes a little bit longer to develop and to have more options within it. But it will exist, and the individual marketplace, of course, will exist.
I'm sorry we lost our caller. I do have a note about him. Perhaps we can go ahead and take his question. Mike from Champaign was wondering about employers reducing their hours so they don't have to pay for health coverage. Essentially, employers who may move full-time jobs into maybe just barely full-time jobs, but actually part-time status, so that any penalties or any requirement to provide health coverage would no longer exist. I've heard reports of big companies with a lot of low wage employers talking about doing that. Is that something that you're seeing happening, or seeing employers talking about?
I mean, once again, that's the kind of anecdotal thing that I've heard a lot about. And I read a lot, but I haven't seen anything about this specific company discussing such a thing as an option. Claudia?
I have heard reports of this as well. And what I would say is that if somebody works for a company that is thinking about doing this and they're a large employer with over 50 employees, they should know that that company doesn't have to change anything for the next year. They just got a pass from the federal government to not be accountable and to not have to pay penalties and to not have to report. So really, they shouldn't be changing what they're doing now. I think it's I have heard of this. I am worried that some companies may do this. I don't think that it's a good business practice. I don't think it's good employee relations. I think, as John said, that offering health insurance and the ability to get that health insurance is something that companies do in order to attract and retain employees. But I sure hope that organizations and businesses will not be resorting to something like that. The fact of the matter is that health insurance is going to become more affordable pretty much for everybody. And certainly large employers have the benefit of a larger pool to insure. So I hope this won't be happening.
Let's talk about the health insurance exchanges. This is what we talk about when you say the marketplace. Those are those insurance exchanges which are being set up. The state of Illinois will be setting them up here. And the sign-up period, 6 months, I guess, before any insurance actually goes online will be October 1st. Not October yet, but what can people do just sort of to get ready for in the enrollment period? What sort of information or data? It's the sort of thing you always have to worry about when you're buying insurance. There's papers and information you have to get in line, mm-hmm. and just figuring out how you're going to handle the cost or what the cost will be. So where do you start now?
Okay, I can give some tips, and we have a handout on 7 things that you can do to get ready now.
Is this available at your website at Champaign County Healthcare Consumers?
I believe that my coworker Jen will be putting it up soon. I'm sure she's listening to the radio, and I'm sure it will be up soon.
I just want to say there is a link to the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers website at our website. Go to will.illinois.edu/focus. Anyway, these handouts tell us what?
So they tell us, well, one thing that's not on the handout that I would like to add is for people who have internet access, computer access, they should sign up for the healthcare.gov email alerts. So that's one thing just to keep them tuned in. The second thing is to learn about the different kinds of health insurance. Start getting familiar with health insurance and the language around health insurance, what premiums are, what out-of-pocket costs are, and all of that.
This is not going to be a fun project for a lot of people.
No, but we're here to help. We can help people with this. So another thing is make a list of questions or things that are important to you with regard to health insurance. So, for example, if you have certain providers or certain doctors that you go to, that you want to continue to go to, you will want to make note of that, because then later when you're shopping for health insurance, you will want to look for health insurance that includes those providers so that you do not have to have a change in your continuity of care. You should also start gathering basic information about your household income. Most people, most individuals who apply for health coverage through the marketplace will qualify for some sort of financial assistance or subsidy. You need to have your household income, annual income information, whether that's tax returns or John is showing me something, and also pay stubs, W-2 forms, whatever sources of information that you have about annual income. You will also need information about health insurance coverage if you have it now through your employer. For every person who you're trying to get covered, you want to have that information available. The application will be really simple, actually. You should also think about your budget. If you do have to pay for premiums, out-of-pocket costs, you need to start thinking about what is affordable to you. If you have health insurance now, be aware of what you're paying every month now for premiums, what kind of out-of-pocket costs you have, like if you have copays when you go to the doctor, and start getting a handle on those costs for yourself, because you will want to be able to afford and compare so that you hopefully your costs will not go up. The other thing is, if you have an employer, you will want to find out whether they plan to offer health insurance or whether you will need to be looking through the exchange. And then the other thing is, you need to start making note of what your local resources are for understanding this process and learning more. And hopefully for a lot of your listeners, they will tune in to the radio station here, WILL, AM 580, but also check in with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. Barham Benefit Group is also a great resource, but just basically stay tuned for information. But I think the main thing is start getting your household income information, health insurance information, and think about a budget and think about your health needs.
It sounds like you're really talking here, Claudia, to people who have not had health insurance before, and so they aren't really familiar with the routine that goes along with getting it. But are these insurance exchanges also something that may be useful for people who already have some sort of health insurance?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of people right now who have individual plans who are just really struggling to afford those, or they may have individual plans that are catastrophic health care and don't really cover them when they go for regular preventive visits, or they sort of withhold going to get care because they have to pay out of pocket because they don't have a very good health insurance plan. I think those individuals should really consider looking at the marketplace when it opens up in October and compare what's available. And they may find that actually for the same cost or less, they can get better health insurance coverage.
John Castinas, I don't know if it's the same for employers, because the penalty deadline for the larger employers has been delayed, and I don't know if they'll be using any exchanges or the marketplace in the same way. But are there things that employers should be looking at as they prepare for the full implementation of this law?
Well, just like for the employees, as Claudia was referring, we'll have groups come to us, and the first thing I need is to know what they're paying for and exactly what they have, so we can compare it to the other options out there. Many people predict that over the long haul, there's going to be a lot more competition, especially in the small group insurance market, groups under 50. So,
by competition, you meaning more choices out there for the customer?
More choices, not necessarily from each carrier, but perhaps more carriers becoming competitive in various markets.
Okay.
For instance, we're here in Champaign-Urbana, and I don't know that much about Blue Cross, but I read where now it's going to be accepted by most of the doctors at Carle and stuff. That over time could induce competition that might be a downward drag on the increase in health care.
We have about 90 seconds left in the program, and Claudia, there's one thing I wanted to get at, and that was Medicaid. Part of the Affordable Health Care Act is supposed to be the expansion of Medicaid. Supreme Court said it's not necessarily mandatory by the states to do this, but the Illinois General Assembly has voted and sent to the governor a bill to expand Medicaid in Illinois, assuming it's signed by the governor, becomes law. What does that mean as far as consumers' options?
It's great news. It means that if you are a low-income individual with income that is below about $15,800 per year, you will be able to qualify for and enroll in Medicaid. You will not have to pay out of pocket for premiums. You may have some minor cost pay, but you will basically be able to have health insurance, and there will be no categorical requirements such as there currently exists, like you have to be pregnant or have small children. Single individuals who are low income will be able to qualify and get health insurance coverage through Medicaid.
Okay. And that information, I don't know if there's another website to go to at Medicaid about this at this point.
This information will be available on the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers website within the next day or two. And if people have questions, they are always welcome to call us at 352-6533, and we can provide them with the information that they need.
And that phone number again, 217-352-6533.
That's right.
For the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, you can find links to Claudia's organization, to healthcare.gov, and to the state's health insurance exchanges at our website. Go to will.illinois.edu/focus. Our thanks to our guests today, Claudia Lenoff, Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, and John Katsinas with the insurance provider Barham Benefit Group here in Champaign. Thank you to both of you for being on the program today. And I hope to have you back in a few months, and we can look again and see where the Affordable Health Care Act is at that point and what sort of new questions have cropped up.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we welcome any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website. You can go to it directly at will.illinois.edu/focus. Today's show, produced by Lindsay Moon. Other members of our focus team, Pam Dempsey and Kimberly Cronick. Jason Croft is our technical director and handles your calls. Tomorrow on Focus, the subject is spam. No, not the popular canned meat made from chopped ham, but the hard-to-avoid ad messages that clog up your email. Jack Brighton will be your host, along with author Finn Brunton, about the rise of Internet spam, its impact on how we use the Internet, and how the old Monty Python TV show gave spam its name. That's on Wednesday's program here on Focus, live each weekday morning at 10, a replay at 8 p.m. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus on WILL.